Blog Talk Radio.
It was the Anglo-American Alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the radio show is called English Defence League Radio Show Panadrama Debriefing Part 2. And tonight, as I say, we've got a great lady who's was our feet on the street, and that was our very own Jan the Tornado Renee, who was there for the day, and she'll be talking a little bit about what she saw and what was going on, and we'll bring her in very, very soon. So, without further ado, as I say, tonight's show is part two of the Panadrama Debriefing with her very own roving reporter, Jan. Do you like that, Jan? just to let you know, guys, I had a problem. My bloody batteries in my phone had messed up. I was trying to get them changed, and I was out of breath. So my apologies. I should have started the show a couple of minutes earlier. But anyway, let me pass it to Dave, because I'm still trying to get my breath back. So with that, Dave and Jan. Good evening, Dave, and good evening, Jan. Good to have you both here. So much to talk about this evening. I think Jan is on the same line as Dave. So welcome
yes,
both you guys.
Yeah.
So hi, Jan.
Good to be here, Jeff. Hi, Dave.
Hello to you, Jeff. Hello to you, Jeff. Hello, Jan, and hello to everybody in the UK. In the UK from the United States. Yes. And, yeah, Jan, a special hello to you. because not only were you at Panorama, but there's been some other drama to happen since then, a whole lot. But what we want to get from you today to start with is a sense of what happened on that day on Saturday.
Oh, if I could have just bottled it and kept it forever. I mean, the buzz just left me more or less today. There was so much excitement, and of course it starts the night before. I didn't sleep. I never sleep before what used to be the demos. I've never slept properly, and I went back online, and there was people still maybe had 2 hours sleep before they even set off. But when myself and Linda got there, there was already, I'd say about 80 people, because we were very early. Within half an hour, I stopped counting at something 900 to 1,000. I was counting in rough groups of 20. An hour later, I couldn't see the back of where everybody was. I could see flags in the distance. I knew there were thousands there. And then about an hour later, you try and see how many more are there, and it was just amazing. I couldn't even think how many there were. And then yesterday I had a message from one of the guys who was one of those that was held up at different stations. There was pockets of hundreds. He said in his group would have been about 800 people that was stopped getting to Media City at the train station, tram stations, wherever. There was pockets of hundreds of people that still couldn't get there thanks to the police stopping them. The atmosphere was electric. We were a piece of history. It was a history in the making that as much as they would like to demolish, will always be there. It's the truth, it's fact. It was the first evidence I think we've ever seen of the corrupt BBC that's ruled and paid for by the government and the people. And after the expose, they are denying it. They are covering it up to the best of their ability, and it's our job to get it out there. It's our job to get it across the world, folks. The truth can't be denied. It was unbelievable. And if you haven't seen it yet, see it before YouTube, because this Farak Muslim fella who works for the Ramadan Society is now in talk with Google to get YouTube to take down any of the videos. Well, luckily there's people downloading it in other forms, and they won't be able to get Tommy's evidence, because that's exactly what it is. It's unbelievable. And the atmosphere and the people working at the back of the scenes, the people that turned up, Ezra from Canada, Avi Yemeni from Australia, to mention just a couple. Absolutely brilliant turnout and brilliant day.
Well, but Jan, it wasn't, not everybody made it, and not everybody made it for a very interesting reason, and that's one of the slides that is in the show page. Would you like to expand on that, the transport issue?
Which part of the transport issue, where they stopped him at the train station, etc.?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, there was a train stopped, and the other ones, what do they call them, bus things, that they were all stopped. People were held and kettled back. We wasn't actually... there was cages all around us, what they call kettling, but we were free to move, not like we used to be in EDL demos. But we were free to move in certain directions with all these police around us. But, you know, it was quite quiet. There was no... It was a well-organized even though at one stage we were informed on the stage by Danny Tomo that they had put a few lefties in amongst us, and some of our guys marched them out and back towards the police. And it was Danny Tomo that says we're being goaded. They really want us to attack them. Don't lose your cool. Stay calm. They want us to riot. They're trying to invoke a riot by sending these people in. They were marched to the police, turned over to the police, and we just carried on. We're not independents. We're not thugs. We're not extremists. We are patriots. First
common
and foremost,
practice.
We are patriots.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to mention how we're still today being called racist hooligans. There's an article, MI5 are watching the extreme right wing because of terrorism. I would like them to point out wherever we've done any terrorism acts, etc., which we have not, have no intention of. And certainly not racist. If I often wonder what these people think when they're calling us racist and they look at the crowd of us and there are blacks there, there are Chinese there, there was a couple of Japanese there. There was all walks of life. And these are people that know right from wrong, truth from fiction. And that's what we want. As decent people, that's what we want. And we don't care about skin color or where you come from.
Now, it has to be emphasized, Jan, that this was not strictly an EDL demonstration, but it also, I think, has to be emphasized that the same mix of skin color people are at EDL demonstrations. They attend EDL demonstrations. So
it is
not unusual. I just want to point out something real quick, guys. Jan, this is a couple of tweets. You put this in the slides for in our group, and this is the Greater Manchester Police, and I love how these are side by side, right? Contrary to comments made during an ongoing demonstration at Media City today, we can confirm GMP has not prevented any protesters from using the MCR Metrolink system to travel to the planned event. We respect everybody's right to lawfully protest. Now, right beside that, this is one from Manchester Metrolink. All right. And down below, highlighted, they sent out this message. Evening. We took direction from Greater Manchester Police. Thanks. So there it is, guys. Just straight up lies.
Yeah.
Concerning this. Yeah, just straight up lies.
I'd just like to mention that, no, it was not EDL, but of course Tommy Robinson was the leader of the EDL, way back. I think we're going into 10
founder,
years now, Jim.
He was a founder, wasn't
he? He was a founder, yeah.
But, remember when he left the EDL and there was talk about him and people started, there was a certain element of patriots that turned on Tommy. Do you know what I enjoyed on Saturday? I saw three people that used to rip Tommy apart when he left us. And I watched them singing Tommy, Tommy, and I thought, they've got it. They know. Most of us, stood by Tommy, whether he was with us or moved on from the EDL. When we think about it now, he's gone more into the media side of it, and probably the move was the right thing to do. I think so now. EDL
well,
is still going strong.
I think he's talking more about politics now, Jan. I think.
Yes.
I think he seriously realises that he's got a position that he could really, he's a people's person, isn't he? He's the people's champion.
Yeah.
That they would want to see him, whatever group it is, with his supporting UKIP, whatever, want to see him go in that direction because they will follow him. No doubt about it.
Well,
you know, he's got a great following, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And also, maybe have his own media team as well. It takes some balls to do it, and it takes a bit of cash. But I think there's people out there who would back Tommy with what we said just a while ago. He needs to go the media route, set his own media up. I don't know how you achieve it, but he knows people. He knows people that knows people, doesn't he, Jan? You know,
that's
I would say
right.
That's
you
best
see
way
that
to go because.
Go, Jan, go.
This is the next chapter in his life, and for us, not just us as English Defence League was where we started out. And we were just our own people, recognising because we've had it longer. We've had this problem longer than probably most countries in the West. So we've had decades of experience of what others are now seeing probably in the last 5, 10 years, whatever. But because we've had it so long and it was kind of just us, English Defence League, and then the rest of the world was starting to have the same problems with this huge mass of, I'm not going to say immigration, but I'm going to say invasion of Middle Eastern people who keep their cultural differences and spread them amongst us as Westerners, where we've got our Christian countries and they want to change us into their way of life. Not going to happen. Everyone seems to think it's happening. It looks like it's happening. And it is happening in certain pockets of the world, but it's not going to succeed. And this is why we need people like Tommy, people like everyone out there who's a patriot to the countries, to the Western world. We have got to stop what is happening. And hopefully this expose of the BBC and paid people to tell lies, to try and destroy people's lives with lies, evil lies that can take down people. Even in that video is a mention of, you know, a lad getting so drunk by these people, by Sweeney and Co. from the BBC Panorama, stripping his flat and taking terrible photographs of him, sexual assaults, etc. And they are doing this to protect liberalism, and if you like, to protect paedophilia, to protect everything that is wrong. They are paying people to destroy decent people with decent backgrounds and decent principles, and it's shocking.
They're using blackmail, one of the oldest techniques I've ever known. It doesn't surprise me. It's just the depth that these evil bastards are going to. The BBC, the Hope Not Hate, the establishment. It's all coming crumbling down around them. I don't think they realise it, but they're dead man walking, Jan.
Yeah.
I'm saying, isn't it? They're dead man walking.
Well,
because they've been uncovered. And that's the sleaze. They use, sexual exploitation. It's just so bad, isn't it, Jan? It's really, really...
It's shocking.
It's bad and it's evil, but we've always known what they've been up to. There's a statue outside, actually, which Tommy... There was
it's in Tommy's video. It's in there, yes.
Yeah, and it is the actual... The person that done it, the architect who did it, was a paedophile. And they still... The BBC still refuses to take that down, knowing that he was, a paedophile. Really nasty paedophile.
Yeah.
And they
leave it there.
So it shows you that the so-called BBC is nothing but an evil den of satanic evil. I get so angry. My apologies.
I got to tell you guys, it's all about image. It's all about image, and I think since you know, we got a little bit of a late start, and but we do need to cover this. We know that organizations like the BBC, Hope Not Hate, or Hope Not Soap, as some have called them, and things like that are. And by the way, Americans, Hope Not Hate is an organization whose mission it is to silence the right, advises CNN and the Huffington Post. Okay, we know they're going to say terrible things about us that aren't true. But there is something we do need to clear up, and that is with Glenn Beck, who is the Blaze. The Blaze is for our friends in the UK. The Blaze is now the second most popular conservative network organization over here in the United States of America. Now, I'm not going to play the audio that I sent to Jeff and Jan, but I do want to get into this. He said on his Tuesday program, he was asked by Stuber Gear, who is one of his sidekicks, if he could give kind of a baseball card, thumbnail description of Tommy Robinson. Now, much of the rest of it is true. And I will give Glenn Beck a lot of credit, because at the end of that, he did start ripping Antifa a new one, which is good. But in the beginning, he says that Tommy Robinson was a founder. Of course, he had forgotten the name of the organization, the English Defense League. He called it Defense of England or whatever. And he said, and then Tommy Robinson left it because there were so many racists in there, and it was all about racism and white supremacy and race and white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, and I'm going to try and send a copy of this show to Mr. Glenn Beck. Mr. Beck, one of the things that you need to realize is that Tommy Robinson was under tremendous pressure at that time when he left the English Defense League. He immediately partnered with something called the Quillian Foundation, and Jan can fill you in more on what that is. But that is where all of this stuff about the EDL being full of racists and everything came out of. Now, as with any organization that is political or quasi-political in nature, there are going to be conflicts about leadership at the top. And when Mr. Robinson left the EDL, it had thousands of members. Okay, so there was that element in it, but there was also the whole business with Quillian. And Jan, I'd like for you to expand on that, because I believe that even today, Tommy Robinson would probably deny the EDL as being anything other than what he said through the Quillian Foundation, because in that one instance alone. He was intimidated into saying those things. Jan, am I right?
I would say yes, 100%. I think both Jeff and I and the whole of the EDL was very surprised and in deep shock when the announcement of Tommy leaving the EDL happened. But I looked beyond whatever he was saying. I was watching his eyes. They say the eyes are the windows to the soul. And that's what I was concentrating on. And despite any words that he said, I knew, or thought I knew, I believed myself, that his life or the lives of his family was under threat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm wrong in that. The pain in his face, and I just knew he didn't want to say whatever he was saying. I just knew that he didn't want to leave the EDL. That's how I felt, and Jeff will probably agree with me on that. However, he did leave the EDL. Quilliam, I can't think of the man's name that was involved in Quilliam, still is, but he used to be tied up with terrorism, and as we all know, what Takiya stands for, and how they used Takiya to further their agenda. But no, Tommy is... No. I saw the pain, and I'm sure Jeff will reiterate on that there's no way Tommy felt like any of that. We still adore him.
Well, it is quite obvious that he still hasn't said nothing today, but we know he was warned. He was warned by those guys with the dark suits. We know who they're the ones who are the enablers, disablers, whatever you want to call them. They are told to pass the message. And it seems that is exactly what happened to him. And it wasn't so much about fear for himself, because he was being under the fear of death himself. I think it was the fear of his children and his mother. And
his children and wife.
Yeah, and his parents, yes. You're right there.
And his parents, let's face it,
if we can kill a princess, we can kill anyone.
This is what I want Mr. Beck to understand. Now, Jan, you correct me if I'm wrong, and you too, Jeff. Was one of his children not born right around that time? Did he not have a new baby as well?
Yes, he's called Poppy.
This is my thing, guys. All of those threats, he had parents, and we know that the press doxed his parents. They actually printed out the address to his parents' home. People in his family were being exposed. At that time, the police were showing up late at night at his place and just taking him down for questioning, just for whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about it like 3 o'clock in the morning and things of that nature. Now, you guys said it, and we've seen it through his actions, braving prison more than once, and everything else for himself. Physically, he doesn't care. He's tough, and he's right, and he's righteous in what he wants to do, talking about the Islamization, not only of the UK, but of the West. That's why I'm here, by the way, Mr. Beck, because I saw this coming 5 or 6 years ago, okay? That's Tommy Robinson, though. He is not afraid for himself, but I believe that he said those things about the English Defense League because he was worried for his family. And I will say this. I've known Jeff and Jan for quite a while. None of us were raised to be racist. And if there was racism going on in the movement, if I thought that the EDL was like the National Front or something like that, or like some Nazis or something like that, there'd be a big hole where I used to be. There is no way in hell, as an American who believes in opportunity for everyone, regardless of skin color, that I would still be here. And you know, I love Jeff to death. He's a great patriot, you know, but if something like that happened, I'd have to say, well, Jeff, man, you know, I know this isn't anything you wanted, you know, but I got to step away. So.
It is actually nothing to do with race whatsoever. It is purely against the Islamification of my country. Our Western world is what we're protecting, because we've had it for decades in the UK and watched it slowly manifest into galloping Sharia law. It's not just creeping Sharia, it is galloping.
Galloping.
And even more so in the US and in Europe.
Because
we've been exposed to it for 40, 50 years and watched it, watched them slowly take over and edge the way. They used to be very, very quiet, and I've said this to you in the past, Dave.
Yes.
And Jeff will attain to this. They used to be very, very quiet and subdued. But
now
they demand power on every corner, and they get it. And they get one more piece of power, they demand more power. Mm-hmm. It has nothing at all to do with race, because it's to do with being a non-Muslim. And that's all it's to do with.
This is the way that they've always operated. Whatever part of the world, when they're taking over, the quiet approach, blend in, do your thing, slowly but surely, do the breathing bit, and then once there comes a percentage, you're getting a bit bigger, step it up. And you see, this is what you see. Ladies and gentlemen, what you see is that only about 3%, but they create so many issues, so many political issues, that is the reason why they, with only just think, 20%. It'd be a total nightmare, wouldn't it, Jay? And this is just 3%. Am I right, Jay?
Yes, you are. You're completely correct. I would say that the percentage is higher than two. I don't know how many. Well, we've got that many coming in even by boats into Kent and Dover now that we don't even know what we've got. But when I was a child, in fact, not even when I was a child, when I was in my 20s, I didn't see any burqas. I didn't see men dressed in white gowns. I saw suits and women dressed normally. And this burqa business and these hijabs is all escalating like it did in Iran in the 70s to where now they're completely covered.
Oh, yeah.
That's happening in the UK. When I was in the 20s, I didn't see one burqa. Never. Only on the television, in a movie or whatever.
Well, I told you guys.
Everywhere. If you go to my city, it's like I can pull up outside a particular school and you would think you were in the Middle East. I could go to the local hospital and when you walk in, you would think you were in the Middle East. This is how much it's escalated. This is how much power they've got.
And that's Birmingham. You know, just for people who don't know, that's Birmingham. For the American listeners, and this again is for Mr. Beck, who freely admitted that he doesn't know very much about Tommy Robinson. Imagine Congress with about 20 or 30 Ilhan Omars in it. Okay, because that's, well, actually, there are more of those than I believe in the House of Commons right now. The English Defense League, far from being about white supremacy, is about defending the culture of the United Kingdom. And that's everybody's culture, the culture of Christians, Jewish people, Hindus, Sikhs, everyone. All right. This is not a hate group. And let me tell you something. They don't call me, you know, I don't have a show called The Unpleasant Blind Guy because I've got a bad leg. No, I don't know what it's like to be a black man. But I know what it's like to be different, and I know what it's like to experience hate crime. If I thought that this organization was that kind of an organization, wouldn't even have hung around. But I've been here, and I'm Jeff and Jan.
We have had Sikhs marching with us in the EDL, have we not, Jeff? We have had
Sikhs.
We have had Indians. We have had Hindus. We have had all walks of life walk with us, and the common denominator is non-Muslim.
Yeah. Have I not seen Israeli flags at EDL demos, guys, in the live streams?
Yeah. Definitely. Yes.
And you know, we very much support Israel here on the show. In fact, one of our team members is a lady who is very likely going to immigrate to Israel. She's from Canada. She's from the west coast of Canada. You can imagine the nightmare when we try and set up a show and do it with her as far as time goes. You know, but she has been with us on the show also,
isn't it, guys?
Yeah, she's our little star, and she does a. And by the way, if you want to look for her website, it's called The Real Clear Israel. It's an aggregator. She has news from Israel and things like that. To Mr. Beck and to anyone else, I would say that if you want to look for anti-Semitism, if you want to look for racism, you may not want to look here. You may want to look on the left. You may want to look at the policies of the left. I did a show called Don't Be.
Maybe
we'll
have a look at the Labour Party. They're all anti-Semitic.
Exactly, yeah. There you are, Jeff. Yes. Look at Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, that's it. You got anti-Semitism in the Conservative Party as well. We're not leaving them out, are we, Jan? Because we know there's anti-Semitism in both of their ranks, the left and the right. We know what they're all about. I think it's disgusting.
But we've known for
ages, haven't we, Jan?
Yes, definitely. I'd just like to mention, if I could, Abi Yemeni, he's a Jewish lad from Australia. I think he's Arab, but he's Jewish and he lives in Australia. Yeah. And he took time out to come out on Saturday. But while he was walking towards the meeting point where we had the big screen, he walked past the kettled, if you like, left-wing flying red flags of communism and the usual rubbish that they fly with their stupid flags that all refugees welcome here, Nazis and fascists and everything else of a course. Abi Yemeni, the Jewish lad, walked past them and they're shouting to him that he's a Hitler lover, a fascist, and there he is, quite openly. You can see he's Jewish. This is how stupid they are. Calling him a racist,
yeah.
Calling him everything. And I'd just like to mention, at one stage, I had to take my eyes off him because I was like transfixed looking at Abi Yemeni. I don't know. I'm old enough to be his mother.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, behave yourself.
Yeah, like the youngies, yeah.
He's like, Dave.
And he stood next to me while we were watching the television screen, and I just tapped him on the arm and said, hello, and he went, hello, and I just went back to the screen looking. But then I was looking from his feet to the top of his head and from his head to his feet, and I'm thinking, he's not bad. I kind of like him. He's so charismatic. And then I realized I'm old enough to be his mother, so I'm...
He's only a little fella, isn't he? He's not that much... he's not about the same height as Tommy, isn't he?
I've got high heels on as usual, so he's about the same height as Tommy, so he kind of... The top of his head came to my nose, and I thought, well, you know, I've always gone for taller men, so, but then I've never been with young men like that. But he's really nice. And you know what? He's such a happy soul. And see the friendship between Tommy and Abi Yemeni is just, you know, you'd like to be in a room.
He loves Tommy. See him doing them videos in Australia. You can see how much he cares. That's what it's all about. Right across the world, and there's little Abi doing his thing out in Sydney. You know, oh, Tommy. That's it all the time. But it just goes to show you that Tommy's spirit spreads around the world like it's like a wildfire, isn't it?
It's the thing about Tommy.
That is the soul singing. I don't know how many times. I mean, they had technical problems. They had to go and get a new computer in the end. So we were there kind of, 10:20. Tommy was supposed to be there at 1. I think he turned up at 3:20, and we were there till about 5:00, 5:30. So I shot off before. You know, Tommy always had the best music playing. It was like being at a disco before he arrived and after. Everybody seems to want to enjoy themselves. And so I said to Linda, let's get out of here the minute it's all finished, and so we don't get kind of stuck in it. There's so many thousands here. So,
yeah.
But Danny Tomo was getting us singing, and so everybody was thinking he was just about to arrive, and when he did, you could imagine the roar. It was just, if I could have bottled this and brought it home.
Yeah, it's memories it's like a happening, isn't it, Jan? It's something that every time he does something like it's something new, because it's Tommy. Tommy's doing this, and what I did here that's good, that he wants to bring big screens like he done with the panorama thing all the way across the country. That's what he's planning to do.
That was a beautiful scene. You stood in awe looking at the screen and you thought, oh, my goodness, look at this stage and screen. And because I was saying to Linda on the way there, I can't see them letting up. I was imagining, you know what you have in hotel rooms when you're having a conference? I was thinking screens like that everywhere.
This was a 50-foot TV, people, a 50-foot TV. And I told Jeff I wanted one for Christmas. Jeff, you said you'd buy me two.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that. Of course, I'm going to have to rip out every wall of my apartment to get the thing in. But
I don't know. They must be really expensive. It's got to be from a rental thing, isn't it, Jan? I mean, because I've never seen screens like that apart from pop stars and things like that.
And it worked perfectly. It was, and then there was a seat at the back with the, you know, where they could go and sit when they came off the stage and then come back on. I would have loved to have been in that tent with them, by the way.
And it even worked with the karaoke thing, you know, at the end of the thing.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure Jan would have liked to be in the tent with Avi Yemeni, you know. Now, you know, as far as that goes, as far as that goes, Jan, I'll tell you a little something that Jeff and I talked about, you know, just between us, you know, a couple of dudes talking. It's like, you know, the small ladies like that, okay? You know, I like to call them bite size. You know, that's...
Bite-sized
lady.
Oh, I'm sorry,
you hear
that, Jan?
Yeah.
That's awesome. But I'm really glad you had it. Now, Jan, you talked about the fact that they escorted out some of the lefties that were trying to cause trouble. And this is a common thing, by the way, with EDL demonstrations and with demonstrations involving Tommy Robinson. You know, but otherwise there was no trouble at this. We did see this, and we did have this when we covered it in one of our previous shows. Yeah. Just to confirm, there was no trouble there. The police actually kept the lefties away, and it was a peaceful and fun day. Correct?
They were. It was like a piece of shopping mall with big open spaces and canals. Beautiful area. And mm-hmm. they were kind of like, I don't know, 5 or 6 minute walk away behind buildings. They could certainly hear us, but they couldn't see us.
Ah.
And me and Linda left, which was right at the end. We didn't wait for the crowds to disperse. When Linda and I left to get me to get back to the car and her to get to the train station, there was no lefties in and no keckling. They were gone. They probably heard how many of there was, you know, with the voices that they decided to scatter, probably. I would just like to say that Tommy's wife was there on Saturday.
Oh.
I think that she doesn't get to... He gave a great tribute to her at the beginning. He
I know, I heard
wedding.
All about it. It was really good.
It was really good. And although the faces were blotted out, which is right to do... she was somewhere there. She wasn't pointed out, but you've got to give that girl credit. She must be such a gem of a lady.
Oh, she must be, yeah. She
has
to be.
How many women would go through this and still be there supporting her man? Not many. The amount of times he's been in prison, the amount... They have been
love shines through, doesn't it? That's the old saying, Jan. It's what brings you together. It's what separates love. Love from the universe to the other end of the universe is what keeps people together. And that's what they've got. They've got something. But yeah, they probably had their arguments, Jan. Bloody old husband and wife.
Yeah.
I know, he's said about... He's had a rather weird missus. I mean, but... She's been through a lot. Bless Tommy and his family and his kid. He's got lovely kid. He's got lovely family and good little keep safe. That's the way I look at it.
Part of it is where the BBC / Panorama wanted to pay a female to say she'd been sexually assaulted by Tommy to ruin his marriage, to ruin him, to destroy his family. That is part of the video.
That is part of Panorama. Yes, it is.
Yep.
And it's well stated in there. And I have to say that Tommy Robinson makes a complete and utter monkey out of the BBC. I mean, you know, okay, he makes monkeys out of the BBC so badly that, you know, I heard that the monkey house at the Los Angeles Zoo, they just showed Panorama there, and all the monkeys looked at each other and went, wow, he really made humanoids out of them. You know,
he's watching when Sweeney realizes, Sleazy Sweeney realizes that he's been had.
Oh, that's such a great moment.
His face, and then his boss comes out and the expression on their faces, and Tommy is just up there.
I love how Jen and Jeff, I love how there's this one great moment where, you know, Sleazy Sweeney reaches in to his jacket and pulls out this piece of paper like, now I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna accuse him of of threatening to kill his ex-employee, and he finds out it's all fake. It's like, what a wiener the guy is.
I wasn't going to say wiener. I was going to say dumpling.
What Tommy done, it was probably, I mean, coming to BBC, supposed to be very smart and very quick on the mark, but they didn't sound very professional. When Tommy took them to pieces, it was like watching them crumbling away. That's the impression I had. As though the lovers just didn't know what to say. And do you know what made me laugh? Tommy's looked at the camera, and Sweeney's put his head around the corner to look into the camera. It was hilarious. You know the bit that he came.
Yeah, well, you know what went through my mind when I was watching it on Saturday on the big screen? You know what flashed through my mind when I was watching it? How?
What's that?
And I think I mentioned it to Bill Weir, because Bill Weir was there. God bless Bill Weir.
Yeah,
look at the difference in him now. Put your mind back, Bill, to when we first started out in the EDL. When he first started doing his speeches, look at the difference now. I mean, he's been for a long, long time assertive and positive and quite professional. But when you flash your mind back to one of his first demo speeches, to his behaviour and his stance and his educated himself on Islam and everything else, and how he's just phenomenal. The difference in them 10 years is phenomenal. God bless him. I'm proud of him.
Yeah,
amen to that. Amen to that.
What he's done, I will say that, Jan. I can remember doing his first news night with them trying to take him to pieces. And I said at the end of it, well done, Tom. You held him well there. But you knew he was still raw. He had that rawness about him. But he wasn't going to take no crap from anybody. He stood his ground.
No.
And I said to myself, like I said to many others, as time goes by, you watch this young man, he'll progress. He'll get better and better.
He is a
he'll
very
sharpen
special
things
person.
Up. He'll be really witty, be quick. And that's what we see now. That's what we see with him now. He's really quick about it.
Anyway, guys, I've got to get back to work.
Okay, Jan.
Thanks for having me, and we'll carry on this chat. I'm sure there's going to be more developments. There's even more developments as we speak with Tommy. There's no way he's going anywhere. He's for the country. He's for the people. So thank you for having me, guys. Thank you, Dave, for all what you do.
No,
and
thank you,
Jan.
Love you, girl.
Jan. Great to have you join us, and and being our roving reporter of the day. I was looking forward to this show tonight. So God bless you, Jan. And don't work too hard, my love, okay?
Okay, and you all take care, and I'll speak to you soon. And good night, and God bless listeners out there, and thank you for listening to the EDL radio show. No surrender.
No surrender, Jan. Thank you.
Jane.
Love you, girl. Take care. Now,
bless up,
all right.
Jane.
Now, Jeff, it's about time for you to call back in. And I've already got a tune lined up. And I think everybody's going to like this one. So if you want to call back in, I'll start her up.
Okay,
and,
pal.
Guys, there's more show to come. We've got a few articles and things of that nature, and we do want to speak a little bit more to Mr. Beck and kind of clue him in a little bit more about who we are and things like that. But until then, please check out this and stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show.
And anyone who knows my live streams or anything like that,
I can't begin to love you.
Mr. Hello, Kevin Karaoke. That was a Mr. Kevin Karaoke.
Yeah, it was. It was great stuff, Jeff. Again, something that happened at the end of the panel drama event on Saturday. And, you know, I'd like to say to Mr. Beck, well, first of all, I'd like to say, well, everybody, welcome back to the English Defense League radio show. And I'd like to say to Mr. Beck, if you really want to know the reason why Tommy Robinson has been removed from Facebook and why he's been removed from Instagram and why he's now having to try and set up his own thing, it is because of the panel drama documentary, not because of a protest, certainly not because of any of the lies that Facebook told about him. It is because, as we said in the previous hour, he made the BBC look like monkeys. It would be equivalent, Americans of a certain age, to somebody coming on to 60 Minutes and making Mike Wallace look like a monkey. Okay, that's what Panorama is in the UK. It's their, you know, their number one investigative news program from the BBC. Which, by the way, Jeff, on the Blaze today, I was just listening as I was doing this and that around the place, right? They said, and it's hard to believe this, man. They said that the number one trusted news source in the United States of America now is the BBC. And I heard that, and I almost needed a change of underwear because people have no idea how badly they're being lied to here, man. I mean, it is diabolical, the stuff they're doing.
Oh, tell me about that.
It's amazing.
Oh, no.
I'd like to say to Mr. Beck, you know what, Glenn Beck, you say that you don't know much about Tommy Robinson, and sometimes he looks like a good guy to you, and sometimes he looks like a bad guy to you. I would say interview him. If you want to get hold of him, you can probably do that through Ezra Levant of Rebel Media. Interview the guy. I think you will be amazed. From everything that I've heard, Jeff always agrees with me, or I always agree with Jeff, whichever one of us says it. You know, he is kind of like the Winston Churchill of this time. And I liken him to, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. I liken him to Abraham Lincoln after he had been had all of his meetings and everything with Frederick Douglass. And Mr. Beck, I know you love history, and so do I. And that is the type of man that Tommy Robinson is.
Your version. I mean, we're all different.
All
individual. And a while ago, I'm looking at Mr. Robinson as more of an Oliver Cromwell type of person.
That's a good one, too.
He's got his army. Tommy's got his army. He's got the thousands, literally thousands. He's got his army. And I do believe that this is the Orwellian, Cromwellian time that we live now. But that's me, just myself, looking at it in a historical pretext, basically. And then, Dave, you're looking at it maybe in your way that...
makes us great individual people. There's merit in both.
There's merit in both.
And Jeff, I want to expand on your idea a little bit, because you say he's got his army, and people might hear that and go, oh wow, they're going to be all that. No, his army are all people with an idea, and the idea is that the civilization that the UK represents. The traditional Judeo-Christian ethics and just culture that the UK represents, and indeed the Judeo-Christian culture that the West represents, that's the idea that his army has. They don't have weapons. They're not a bunch of thugs out there ready to beat people up and hurt people and things like that. They've got the thing. They've got the one weapon that the left fears more than anything else, and that is
truth.
Ideas.
And the
there
truth.
You go, Jeff.
Right.
And the truth.
The truth will set you free.
That it will.
That's
right?
An
that
old super someone. Was it Abraham Lincoln? The truth will set you free.
Well, I'm not as much of a scholar of the word as I should be, but I believe this is out of the Bible. But the point is, yes, it is about truth. And, you know, if you want to interview a true modern civil rights leader, all right, Mr. Beck, then make arrangements and interview Tommy Robinson. I think you'll be amazed. You have Stephen Crowder on your network, and Stephen Crowder has spoken with Tommy Robinson. I don't think you'd be disappointed at all. His video right now, guys, on YouTube, just on his page alone, has over 700,000 views, 702,000 at the last time I checked, about 2 hours ago. Very likely it's coming up with it and all the copies of it that are on YouTube right now. Very likely it's going to hit 1 million views very soon because, excuse me, this is a documentary that is well done. It's well thought out. It's as professional as anything I've seen in 50 years, 50 plus years of studying the press, studying sociology, studying trends and things of that nature. It is a good documentary and it's worth looking at. So that is something that you should look for. Now, guys, Jeff, I want to swing into a bit of coverage of what has happened to Tommy Robinson since. Okay, and this particular thing that I'm going to play here. All right, it's going to last about 12 minutes, but it's worth it. Okay, this will probably take us to the end of the show. Okay, you know, this is, I'm going to try and find this, but this is, excuse me, called the Timcast from the 26th. This was done the same day that Tommy Robinson, or that Glenn Beck said that that the EDL were more or less white supremacists. Okay. Now, if you want to find this, guys, it's on YouTube. It's called Tommy Robinson Band on Facebook. BBC host claims responsibility, and this is by Tim Poole, and I'm going to go ahead and play this. I wanted to give him proper credit though, because this is a good piece of journalism. Again, this is journalism the way that it should be, and then the way that it should be done. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and this should take us down, Jeff, to just about the end of the show. Okay. So, with your permission, I'll go ahead and do it. All right, here we go, guys. Here we go.
Tommy Robinson has been permanently banned from Facebook and Instagram, and the company claims it's because he's repeatedly violated their rules against hate speech. But many people find the timing rather suspect because Robinson just published a documentary alleging collusion between the BBC and an activist organization called Hope Not Hate. In his documentary, it shows journalist John Sweeney, who works at the BBC, telling one of Tommy Robinson's former employees what he wants her to say in an interview, as well as using several offensive remarks. For this, the BBC had to apologize. Now, one thing that makes this story interesting is that apparently media got tipped off that Robinson would be banned before he was actually banned, and Tommy was able to post a video just before they actually banned him. So many people think this is evidence that the media is actually colluding with social media to remove content that is critical of them or could expose them. But today, let's take a look at what actually happened, and I want to take a critical approach to some of the claims made by Tommy Robinson in his documentary. But before we get started, make sure you're following us on Minds at minds.com/subverse, where we're setting up a distributed newsroom. We want you to get involved, share stories, help fact-check, and highlight issues you think aren't getting enough airtime. If you want to support these videos, just share them on social media to help spread the message. From The Guardian, Tommy Robinson banned from Facebook and Instagram. Far-right founder of English Defense League repeatedly breached hate speech rules. Now, The Guardian says this is definitive, but I think it's important to point out there should be an allegedly in this statement, but I can't say I'm surprised. It's The Guardian. The company said Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley-Lennon, broke rules that ban public calls for violence against people based on protected characteristics. Rules that ban supporting or appearing with organized hate groups, and policies that prevent people from using the site to bully others. The decision to ban Robinson from the social media sites could threaten his ability to reach large audiences. The Guardian states, the ban comes a month after Facebook issued a final written warning against Robinson, warning him that if he continued to break the company's hate speech policies, he would be removed from its platform permanently. That warning had been issued for breaches that included a post calling on people to terrorize and behead those who follow the Quran, a post calling on people to make war on Muslims, and multiple videos showing people being bullied. Following that warning, Lies. Robinson did break Facebook's policies again, it says, through organizing and participating in events with recognized hate figures or groups, such as Proud Boys and Gavin McInnes. Public praise or support for these hate figures and groups, public remarks that include hate speech targeted at a specific group in society, public calls for violence against people based on issues such as race, ethnicity, or national origin. Under the ban, Robinson's official Facebook page and Instagram profile will be deleted, as well as any future presence on the site preemptively barred. It will also place Robinson in the same category as other banned personalities, such as McInnes, the Proud Boys founder, and the InfoWars founder, Alex Jones, meaning that others who allow him access to the site through their own pages or profiles could face disciplinary action themselves. But I want to stress, they say public praise or support for these figures could be a violation of Facebook policies. That means if you praise the Proud Boys, McInnes, Alex Jones, or now Tommy Robinson, you too could face a ban or suspension or other penalty for violating Facebook policies. The Guardian adds an interesting bit of information to the story. In the time between Facebook announcing the deletions and them taking effect 24 minutes later, Robinson posted a new video to his Instagram account accusing the company of working together with the media to censor him. If this isn't the evidence that you needed, headlines now from The Guardian, before I've been told. So they're all working together with media. They have deleted me from Facebook, and apparently I'm being deleted from Instagram. I can still make this video at the minute, but I'm being deleted. He appealed to his supporters, follow him to his personal website, saying, we have to fight this censorship. In a statement published by Facebook, they say, Tommy Robinson's Facebook page has repeatedly broken these standards, posting material that uses dehumanizing language and calls for violence targeted at Muslims. He has also behaved in ways that violate our policies around organized hate. As a result, in accordance with our policies, we have removed Tommy Robinson's official Facebook page and Instagram profile. This is not a decision we take lightly, but individuals and organizations that attack others on the basis of who they are have no place on Facebook or Instagram. Breitbart published a story in which they got a comment from Tommy Robinson. They say, responding to the ban, English Defense League founder turned citizen journalist Tommy Robinson told Breitbart London, the reasons they've given are just complete lies. They're saying I incited violence and that I openly called for violence against Muslims. That's just a lie. If that was the case, then they could show evidence of messages where I'd said that, but I never have. This is continued censorship, which we all knew was coming, but it's been done instantly because of my documentary, which exposed the establishment working with Hope Not Hate, working with the BBC in order to destroy my name to the nation. When I exposed what they were doing, they've put down the pressure to completely delete me from the internet. This has to show people the levels they're gonna go to silence any opposition to mass migration and the Islamization of this nation. While naturally, there will be people on the left criticizing what Tommy is saying, that there's media collusion to get him banned, Tommy is actually correct. This man, Mohammed Shafiq, tweeted, I can reveal I recently had a meeting with Facebook to discuss Tommy Robinson pages and their impact in brainwashing his supporters to become terrorists and use violence against Muslims. A very good result, and I am proud of my role. Mohammed Shafiq says that he is a Muslim broadcaster on TV, radio, columnist, chief executive of the Ramadan Foundation, and paper reviewer Saturdays at BBC5 Live, regular contributor to RT.com. Shafiq wrote a public statement for the Ramadan Foundation where he said, I welcome the decision by Facebook to ban the well-known fascist Tommy Robinson from their platforms of Facebook and Instagram. He adds, I can confirm that the Ramadan Foundation has reached out to Google and YouTube representatives here in London to push them to take similar action to ban Tommy Robinson and look forward to meeting them in coming weeks. While I think it's fair to point out that he may be a commentator for the BBC, it doesn't mean he's working at an official capacity for the BBC, but it does show, at least to a certain extent, there are individuals working within the BBC who are actively advocating to tech companies to remove Tommy Robinson. You don't have to like Tommy. You don't have to agree with him. I personally do not. But I do think it's particularly worrisome that just after Tommy released a documentary alleging collusion between the BBC, someone from the BBC publicly announces they are advocating his removal on social media. A couple days ago, Tommy Robinson protested at BBC headquarters and shows his documentary, Panodrama. The documentary is still up on YouTube. In it, you can see Tommy Robinson giving a recording device to a former employee so they could essentially sting the BBC journalists. This man, John Sweeney, thought he was going to be meeting with Tommy Robinson for an interview, but in fact, Tommy then played various bits of evidence or accusations against the BBC, claiming they were working with an activist organization called Hope Not Hate, and then asked John Sweeney to answer questions. While I can't comment on every single thing in the documentary, there's a few things that I did want to bring up. In the secretly recorded footage and on the audio, you can hear the BBC journalist using offensive and homophobic slurs, for which they had to apologize. He also, at one point, tells Lucy Brown, the former employee of Tommy Robinson, what he wants her to say in an interview. Now, people on the right are saying this is proof they were coordinating the interview, but it's a little more complicated than that. John Sweeney's response was that this was following a long conversation and he was just essentially recapping what she had told him and what he wanted for the interview. Regardless, as a journalist, you can't do that. You cannot list off bullet points of what you want your subject to say and then tell them you will selectively edit it in certain ways so they don't look that bad. It also sounds like somebody was trying to coordinate a false sexual assault allegation against Tommy Robinson. Again, I can't comment on the full video, but I did want to highlight this because the BBC has issued an apology. BBC Panorama tweeted out this statement following the release of Tommy's documentary. The BBC has released the following statement of Panorama's investigation into Stephen Yaxley Lennon, also known as Tommy Robinson. BBC Panorama is investigating Tommy Robinson. The BBC strongly rejects any suggestion that our journalism is faked or biased. Any program we broadcast will adhere to the BBC's strict editorial guidelines. Some of the footage which has been released was recorded without our knowledge during this investigation, and John Sweeney made some offensive and inappropriate remarks for which he apologizes. BBC Panorama's investigation will continue. But they didn't address the fact that, yes, at a certain point, you can see John Sweeney listing off what he wants Lucy Brown to say. And again, I want to straighten this out. I want to clarify this. They will try to claim they had a long conversation with Lucy. She told them these things, and they said, this is what we want for the documentary. Journalists, they do this sometimes. However, in terms of ethics, what most journalists do is just ask questions over and over again until they get the response they want. That still is a bit underhanded, but much more typical and more in line with ethics. You cannot, at least as far as my professional career has gone and who I've worked with, you can't tell someone, okay, we talked, here are the three things we want you to say when we interview you. No, you can't do that. This morning, someone else got banned, and this may or may not be related. But Raheem Kassam tweeted, "What a thing to wake up to. My personal Facebook profile has been deleted with no warning or explanation. I can no longer administer my fan page with over 150,000 likes." According to the Daily Caller, Kassam is an opinion writer for the Daily Caller and a former chief advisor to United Kingdom Independence Party leader Nigel Farage. They say Facebook's reason for disabling the page wasn't clear. Kassam, a former Muslim and former editor for conservative media outlet Breitbart London, is scheduled to speak at the Conservative Political Action Conference later this week. It's the third time Facebook has been accused of censoring conservatives over the last several weeks. Last week, the Facebook-owned Instagram allegedly prevented users from liking posts published by Donald Trump Jr. Earlier in the month, Facebook and Instagram were both accused of blocking posts from users who were critical of actor Jussie Smollett for staging his own assault. Facebook did not immediately respond to a request for comment. But Donald Trump Jr. did comment on Twitter by saying, "I'm sure this was a, quote, accident, like I've been hearing from the social media masters. Funny that accidents only happen one way." And in a rather unsurprising fashion, it turns out this was a, quote, mistake, end quote. Raheem Kassam tweeted, "Update. Following this intervention from Donald Trump Jr. and others, Facebook has now reinstated my account. Thank you to Don Jr. and all others who got so involved and ahead on this story. I've no doubt you've frightened Facebook into acting, Raheem." According to CNN reporter Hadas Gold, Facebook says Raheem Kassam's profile was removed in error and was restored as soon as we were able to investigate. Donald Trump Jr. made a good point. It seems like his mistakes often go in one direction. I am no fan of Tommy Robinson. Last year, at an event that he was speaking at, two Muslim men showed up because one of them, Ali Dawa, was set to speak. In a video published by Tommy, he alleged that one of these Muslim men punched a police officer. I believe that to be categorically false, and called it fake news. Following this, Tommy posted an insulting photo of me and mocked me on his Instagram before deleting it. So there's some personal issues and professional issues there. But this is still suspect to me. Look, again, I'm not a fan of the guy, but I do think it's very strange that someone from the BBC said they're actively advocating for his banning, and then he got banned just after he accused them of colluding with an activist organization. What else can you determine from this? They could have banned Tommy at any point. Why just now? Sure, maybe it's a coincidence, but I'm kind of leaning towards if someone from the BBC says they've advocated for this, and then he criticizes the BBC and makes an accusation against them, and then gets banned. Look, if it smells like a duck, if it walks like a duck. But let me know what you think in the comments below. We'll keep the conversation going. Do you think this is active collusion? I think that might be a stretch, but there does seem to be something here. Or do you think that Tommy is just a hateful person who broke the rules? Comment below. We'll keep the conversation going. You can follow me on Minds at minds.com/timcast. Stay tuned. New videos every day on this channel at 4 p.m. Eastern. And more videos coming up on my second channel, youtube.com/timcastnews, starting at 6 p.m. Thanks for hanging out, and I will see you all next time.
Well, that was
and again, and think about this. Think about this. This is from a guy that doesn't particularly like Tommy Robinson, but he set that aside. That's by the way, our executive producer Charlie. He set that aside. He set his personal feelings aside, and did what I think was some incredibly good journalism on this whole issue. So Tim Pool. From Dave Miller, the Unpleasant Blind Guy, congratulations to you. That was an excellent piece you did, and keep it up. Keep that kind of journalism up. Don't lose those ethics, because we need more journalists like you who are searching for the truth. What do you think, Jeff?
Not to say there's still integrity out there, isn't there? No, that's what we like to see. But I've just noticed that, Dave, we are down to the last 8 minutes of the show, but something else that I noted, I think Panorama are changing the actual flagship thing to Paranoia. I think they're just going to use a totally different thing instead of, you know, to Paranoia now. Because they're all looking over their shoulders now, Dave, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, when you have no integrity, you've got to go somewhere. Yeah, when you've got no integrity, you've got to go somewhere. And I want to say it's been a fantastic show, Jeff. I want to thank you and Jan Rennie, who was at the Panorama event. And one thing I'd like to do, Jeff, before we sign off, and before I hit we with my final thoughts, I'd like to say to Mr. Glenn Beck, sir, if you would like to, we'd like to interview you here on the English Defense League radio show. You will be treated well. You will be treated politely. You will not be sandbagged. You will be interviewed fairly. And you will be welcomed. All right? You know, we treat our guests well here.
Don't eat all the bloody biscuits, Dave.
Well, no, I'll do that. I'll do that. Especially the chocolate ones. But... No, you will be treated well if you come here. We would go on your platform, except that, Glenn Beck, everyone in the UK runs a very, runs a pretty successful commercial enterprise, and he has a lot of commercials. Mr. Beck, if you come here, we don't have commercials. All we have is people trying to find the truth and trying to advocate for those who have no voice. And that's those who have no voice of every skin color, sir. So you are cordially invited to come on and do an interview with us. And, you would be welcome. Now, Jeff, I'd like to hit my final thoughts here because we are running down. We're burning daylight. That's little John Wayne.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say, everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That runs through SHR Media, and my show times are at Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and that is 6 p.m. GMT right now in the UK there. And new shows come out on Saturday at midnight Eastern or at 5 a.m. in the UK. And right now we're doing an exhaustive examination of Brexit and why that issue is important to the people of the United States of America, and indeed to the people of the world. And look out for the show that's going to come up on Saturday, because we're going to have our Jan Rennie on that show, and she's going to explain the whole Irish border backstop thing. It's a very good show, and I'm going to have a couple of things to say about President Trump and the latest spending bill that he signed too, which is probably going to make some people angry. So please give that a listen. I'm also on the Western Free Radio Network, and I just want to say to the foot soldiers and the angels and supporters of the cause and the patriots in the United Kingdom and in the United States of America and around the world, everyone, please be blessed and no surrender. Jeff, my brother from another mother, back to you.
Usual day. Thank you. Thank you so much for the great slides for this evening.
No, thanks to Jan. And of course, Jan did the slides. They were great.
All the great work she does, our roving reporter for last week, and of course her putting in different things into our Facebook page, as we appreciate. To everybody that's listened to the show this evening or our archives, because we know that you like our archives, I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight, and it's an honour and a privilege to bring these shows to you. We are the ones who's getting the truth to you guys, and you can see what's going on. You can see the way they're trying to censor us all. But we're fighting back. We've got our other ways that we can fight back. And same as Mr. Robinson, he finds his ways. So from myself, from Dave, from Jan, from our team, from the EDL, the great organisation, and our radio show, take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and no surrender. And with that, guess what? Yeah, we're going to go underground. So that's if it works, Dave. Yeah, it's working. There you go.
All right. Oh, good night, Jeff. Good night, Dave.
Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging green and black. Two, 3 years of what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets.
Well, there you go. Once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides for the show this evening. And great to have Jan join us this evening as well. And with that, we'll see you this week. What day are we in today? What day is it today? We'll see you Sunday. Good night, guys. This is the English Men's League Radio Show signing off for tonight. And we'll see you this Sunday. God bless you all. Cheers. Cheers, guys.